Welcome to the Primrose Lane podcast, where we explore the actual paranormal events that inspired the making of the feature film Primrose Lane and the continuing series The Passage. I'm the filmmaker Kathleen Davison, and I'm joined with my co-host for this series, Pamela Beatty, our paranormal specialist.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pamela. And today our special guest is Curtis Mark Williams, and Curtis plays our leading man for half the film. We have an interesting construct in the film where we don't want to give away too much plot spoiler, but our leading man kind of gets replaced, shall we say, partway through.
It's happened
before. Reminds me of my career, yeah.
not for any professional differences. And he comes back, folks. So he comes back for the first season. He's not gone for good. Kurt, welcome.
Nice to be here. Yeah. Thank you.
So first we want to share a little bit about how Kurt and I know each other and how he came onto this project. Actually, Kurt and I go back to college. He's been a best friend of mine for a long time, decades mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
And this is our second film together. Mm-hmm. And it was complete accident because we thought we were doing a camera test for a completely unrelated project. He was just helping me out as a friend. And long story short, because we didn't want to waste time and money, we thought maybe we'll have some teaser footage that we can use for some script I haven't even fully written yet. I started to write a screenplay for the camera test. We shot it in my home, and he and I played these lead characters. It's the only reason that either one of us are in this film, for the record. Not that I wouldn't have been glad to cast him, mind you, but it was quite the accident that we ended up there. Now, Pamela has said, interestingly enough, that her opinion of this house is that people were drawn there. Oh, and I didn't give my opening, which is, by the way, if you're just joining us, stop right there. You're going to, don't spoil it for yourself. So if you are just joining us, please go to the Primrose Lane Facebook movie page. And if you look at the most recent episode posting in the comments, you'll see the links for all of the previous episodes. Please watch them in order so that we don't give you any plot spoilers. We're telling a story here. Okay, and for those of you who are continuing on the journey, let's jump back in. So, Pamela, you have said before that you felt that pretty much everybody who was drawn to that house, cast, crew, visitors, needed to have a certain experience. You want to remind our listeners what you feel that was?
Well, yes. Each person that was there, was planned to be there. It was a pre-birth plan. Mm-hmm. But also it was to, the whole purpose behind it was to get a certain group and together in order to raise the vibration of that place and to hopefully heal the spirits. That it was, you know, it was, think of it as a gigantic stadium filled with disincarnated souls, because it was a huge amount of souls that was stuck in that one place. So it took a lot of people to help raise the vibration of this place. And it's I think everybody that was there to help heal the beings that were there and the house itself.
Wow. Did you know that you had that mission, Kurt? You
came to wow.
You made one good?
No, I didn't see that in the contract.
So it was an addendum.
So, Kurt, can you share with us a little bit, do you believe in the paranormal?
I do.
Okay.
Yep.
And have you had personal experiences in your life that have sort of validated or confirmed or guided those beliefs for you?
Well, you know, not really. I absolutely believe in it. I've talked to too many people whom I trust and, you know, believe and respect, and that it's happened to, and, you know, and the universe is a great big place full of magic. You know, and it's always, I always feel like it's, you know, it's around me all the time, and I'm just not in tune to it. Mm-hmm. But there was, you know, it's something that happened, which I don't have an explanation for. I don't even know if I told you this, but, you know, when I currently have a company, where I'm selling this product that I actually invented. This is like 6 years ago. And this is not a plug for my company, by the way. It's very
go
relevant.
Ahead, go ahead. Go for it. Plug it.
Go to bellybuds.com.
Do they get a Primrose Lane discount? You have a discount
yes,
code for
all,
our listeners?
It's all tied together. But I had this idea when my wife was pregnant with our now 8-year-old daughter, playing music to the womb, my wife wanted to, and there was nothing existed for it. And so I had this idea of speakers that you could put on a belly. And so I started designing them in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an engineer. I never was. So I had, you know, I don't have any computer software or anything, so I would just always sketch things. And I went out and I bought stencils that had circles, a bunch of these circles. And because I saw all these circles, like it's going to be the circular product, and I started drawing it. And so it was all these concentric circles, and I was doing it all day for a couple of days. And it's like after the second day, and that at this time we were staying, my wife and I were staying at my friend Matt's house in Los Angeles, because at the time we lived in New York, but we were here in LA for a few months. And after a couple of days of just, you know, thinking on this design, I woke up in the morning and I literally said to Jema, "Oh, I figured it out." And she's like, "What?" I was like, "I know, I got the design. I got it in my head." And she's like, "Good." And she was pregnant at the time, and she's like, "Well, you know, I'm up. You just woke me up." So she went up and went into the bathroom, and she said, "This is weird." And I was like, "What?" She said, "There were circles on the mirror in the bathroom." And I was like, "What?" And I went in there, and sure enough, there were all these, like, perfect circles on the bathroom mirror, almost as if they were like little greasy circles. You could run your finger through them, and as if like a moth had brushed its wings in a perfect circle, or like bubbles had popped, you know, on the mirror. I'm like, "That's weird." And, you know, kind of washed it off. And then we went back into the bedroom and turned on the lights, and you had closet doors, the big mirror closet doors. Both closet doors were covered in these circles.
So cool.
And Jamie and I were like, "What? What is this?" And, you know, we called Matt in, and we're like, "Matt, what is this?" And Matt's like, "Whoa, I have no idea." And you know, we're not thinking anything. We're thinking, like, are the air conditioning ducts open? Did something happen? Matt's like, "I've never seen this. I have no idea what it is." And we cleaned it all off. The next morning, circles again. The next morning after that, circles again. And it went on for like 3 or 4 days. No explanation. Never was. And then they disappeared. And then my wife, who is and has always been more spiritually in tune, I'll say, than I am, she said, "Maybe it was because you were thinking about circles so much. Maybe that was some sort of manifestation of it." And that was, you know, we absolutely took it as a sign. And apparently so did Matt, who was just my friend we were living with, who's now my business partner in that endeavor. That moved him as well. And it's been, you know, 7 years, 8 years since then. Yeah.
Wow. Pamela, talk
yes,
to
ma'am.
Us about the circles.
Well, the circles...
I've heard about crop circles before, but not the bathroom mirror circles. It's a whole new phenomenon.
I'm going to call them angelic circles. Because I, as you were talking, I saw these... It's probably 3 to 4. And the best way I can describe them, I'm gonna cry a little bit because it reminds me of home. The best that I can describe him, it was these angelic beings. There were three smaller ones, as if children, like cherubs, you know, little baby angels. And then there was this other one, and if you can imagine it, it was, God, I'm going to say this, and y'all can put me in the room with the mattresses on the wall if you want to, but it looked like a Mother Mary figure. I'll say Mother Mary figure, not Mother Mary. And these little cherubs were all around her, and they were trying this female, let's call her Mary just for, you know, the grins of it all. She wanted to make sure you got the message that this was your path and that this would change the lives of many small children. Mm. It would start their, I'm getting goosebumps.
Wow.
It would start their life off with joy and remembering home.
Oh, I have to share something. One of my favorite things about the evolution of Kurt's company is feedback he's gotten from soldiers when they're deployed, because this product allows these parents who are not there for the pregnancy to speak to the children in utero. And do you want to add anything to that, Kurt? I know you've gotten letters of appreciation and endorsement of the product.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, a lot of military families, as you said, you know.
And I don't know that you had if that, that that thought even occurred to you, that, that that it would have that impact, that it would have that application as creating.
No. Voices were, you know, not a consideration when we, it was
more
simply
concept.
To play music, you know, to the belly directly instead of putting a big pair of headphones on her belly where she had to sit still and hold the mom with her hands. I was just thinking, oh, there's got to be a more practical, convenient
solution. It's like a
belly
suction cup, folks.
It's actually hydrogel adhesive.
Okay, I'm sorry. Must stand corrected.
Very healthy.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Exactly.
But, yeah, but no. But then the you know the voice concept happened very quickly after we released it, and we realized that this is what people want to use this for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting in touch and speaking when they can't be around and bonding, because that's, you know, that's what babies, you know, it's called habituation. They start to have memories at 30 weeks. And so if they hear something over and over and over again, then they recognize it like a mom's voice, right? Like a nursery rhyme. That's kind of why we sing nursery rhymes are very repetitive. So, you know, if it's dad's voice and dad's not around and the baby is able to hear that over and over, then it's going to have that memory of his dad, even though dad's not around. You know, and it's the same with, like, we have surrogacy couples that do it with, you know, with the woman that's carrying the baby, the couple will send their voices. There's all kinds of, you know, great stories of how people have been using this, but that's such an interesting.
Yeah, it's, 'cause they showed me that, I mean, again, I believe in pre-birth planning that this was one of the purposes that you came into the body to do. And this was to change the whole energy around the body that will be is the would-be child, because what the music and what the voices are doing is connecting. It's interesting because it's not connecting to the soul. The whole soul is having the experience because the soul isn't in the body until after it's born, after the body is born.
Oh,
but with the body, because I was watching the energy shift. From what you were telling me that this thing does, and the energy shift in the body, again, I'm going to cry. It's reminding that physical form of best way to describe it of what heaven is like. Don't forget heaven. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. Don't forget. It's okay. And that's the musical aspect of it. The voice aspect of it is because the soul hovers over the body of the mother and hovers over the father and hovers over as a whole to reconnect and to join as one with the parents. So when you put the voices on, it is helping that soul tap into the oneness of its parents. And it's also, and you're going to love this, it's also healing the wounds of that soul before it enters the body. Because we come in with pain, right? Our souls do not get pain that pain gets triggered once we get here. But we bring the pain in with us. It's not something we just experience. Our soul brings the pain. And what you're doing, especially with the music, is you're healing that aspect of the soul. Because a lot of music in heaven. Mm. I mean, it's glorious. And you're giving that soul an opportunity to heal its wounds before it's even born.
Wow.
Wow.
That's some heavy work.
That's why, honey, there were circles on, it was confirmation like, yes, this is what we want you to do. Remember, this is what you said you'd do. It's something you and your wife both, your souls really wanted to do. And it is, I hate to be, you know, I don't even know what to call it, but it's changing the face of the future.
Wow.
Yeah, it's changing because you're healing the soul before they come in, because they come in broken. Once you put the music on the belly and they go, oh, yeah, it's okay. You're taking that physical form that we come into and you're healing it and you're balancing it so that when the soul comes into it, it's already healed. You're balancing, you're giving it a oneness. Does that make sense?
It does. It does to me. I totally do. And I only wish I could put that in our brochure.
Have them call me. It's okay.
We're both on a mission to change the world through media.
Yeah.
All three of us, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. So, thank you for sharing that. That's really,
you're
really
welcome.
Neat.
I want to circle back to the film for a moment. So, Kurt, in your experience, and you had been to the house because we know each other. You'd been to the house prior to filming. What were? Did you have any impressions when you first arrived? When you arrived to the house for the first time, did you ever have a sense of the house and in its energies? And it's okay if you didn't. We're just curious to know. It's something we're asking each of the cast members as we interview.
I mean, other than just it was just permeated with history and, you know, just the lives that had been there, you know, I didn't hear any voices. Mm-hmm. I didn't, chills a little bit because it's the house itself. It's just the dark wood and the size of it, and the history of the leader of the mayor.
I don't want to get into the...
Okay.
Yes, he's the founder of the town, but we don't want to acknowledge the town. We kind of try to protect it and keep it in its own little insulated bubble so wacky, weirdo ghost people don't go and try to break in. But we love the wacky, weirdo ghost people, though.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You too.
So, other than that, I mean, nothing specific.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And any other personal experiences in your life that was that it the concentric circle thing was that it or have you had other
I mean that's the biggest one for me personally. Mm-hmm. And you know the only other one is you know that you'll hear about when you talk to April because April's a very dear friend of mine.
And April plays Crystal in the film, and Kurt's responsible for her being cast because the way Crystal came into the cast was it was an accident. It was a camera test. This whole thing started from that space, and then once it was picked up and the cinematographer came on board and it became a real film, and we were regrouping, and I was doing the research to continue writing the script, and I asked Kurt, was one of the people I went to, and said, hey, if you know anyone who has had a paranormal experience that you regard as an authentic, honest person, and I'd love to talk to them. And he said, oh, you got to talk to our friend, April. And April was then the person who introduced me to Pamela Beatty, who's with us now.
April's my friend, too.
So, oh, yeah.
It was a wild chain of events, and we have you to thank, Kurt. Little
no problem.
Did you know. Once
no
again,
I'm doing good all over the
he's
place.
He's like the wizard behind the curtain. He has no idea. And this is my take on, he says that he's not really tapped in and sensitive, but on Kurt, knowing him for so long, is that he's actually so present and so tapped in that it's his normal, so he doesn't regard it. This is my, you can challenge me. I think he doesn't regard things as paranormal or as being tapped in because they're just what he is. And so as an actor in his performance too, he's able to very readily access things and watching him, even as a young actor back in college, he didn't work very hard. And I watched other people work so hard, at their craft, and Kurt could just come and BS it because it was already there and present.
Right. It was integrated with his soul. Yeah, I have a quick question. Now, your character was one that went away. That's not giving too much away. Mm-hmm. Your character was one that kind of went away and disappeared. When you were in the house, did you ever feel detached from it? Not just not feeling what's going on there, but I saw your soul doing something because you couldn't be, it's almost like you instinctually, intuitively detached from that house because it wasn't supposed to have, it wasn't supposed to resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were against that, you know, like that's insane. So it wasn't supposed to resonate. So did you ever feel a detachment, like whatever?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's because that was the character I was playing. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, what I do sometimes when I, you know, when I hear things about the paranormal, I'm like, okay, all right. You know,
whatever.
Oh, well, you know what? Something else just came into my head when I said that. You asked me if anything else had happened, and yes, something did happen. And it was, you know, I don't know if this is paranormal or just crazy coincidence, but not to get too religious here, but you know, I went to church camp as a kid, and I'm not very religious, but it was a good place to go and really fun and good energy there. So I went to this church camp in Michigan, and a very dear friend of mine that I met there, and we've stayed in touch over the years. you know, and when I was in my early 20s and acting, living in New York City, and I was, you know, this one particular time when I was, it was just rough, you know. And we were talking on the phone, and she was very religious, and she was saying, you know, she was telling me that God's always present, and I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Good to hear. And she's like, but you know how I know that? And I said, how? She's like, because whenever I need a sign, I ask God to show me something, and within 24 hours, I always see a ladybug. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. And I said, well, you know what? I need to see a really big sign. I said, I need a, like, I'm, you know, maybe too rational, but I need a big sign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we ended the conversation. I hung up the phone. I go, because I had to go to an audition. So I was in Brooklyn at the time. Or no, I was in Upper West Side. So I went out. I got on the subway, went down to Times Square for my audition, got out of the subway, walked up out of the subway, lift my head, and the first thing I see is a gigantic sign of for A Bug's Life. And this is in the middle of winter. You know, just another, like,
I was just about to say, show me the ladybug in the dead of winter.
In the dead of winter in Times Square, and I look up, awesome. And there's this gigantic billboard of just the ladybug from A Bug's Life. And I went right to, it was a payphone at the time, because that's what we used to call each other, kids. I went to a payphone, and I called Patty. I'm like, Patty, you're not going to believe what I'm looking at right now. So a little tangent of something else that happened.
That's a great story. But I can think of something right now, and I don't know if you would qualify it paranormal, but I think it hit you when you were married, and there was a certain seagull that circled.
Oh, right. That's
at
right.
The ceremony that Kurt's wife's dad passed away when she was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to share? I mean, I pretty much shared it, but anything to add to it?
Well, yeah, that seagull circled, and she took that as a sign that her dad was present.
Pamela, anything you want to add to that?
Oh, well, no, because that's exactly what it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was, and he's present a lot. He shows up a lot.
And we've heard that from a mutual friend of ours as well.
Yeah, he shows up a lot.
And, you know, something else that happened at the wedding, I don't know if you recall, but right before we were going to do our first dance, the power went out. When we actually were, it was a destination wedding, so we were down in Playa del Carmen, and the power went out in the entire Yucatan Peninsula, Cozumel, and everything went black. And it just so happened that this is the beginning of when people had iPods, let alone a little iPod dock player. And so one of the people in the party had an iPod that happened to have our wedding song on it. There's a John Denver song, Follow Me. And one other guy happened to have a speaker. And so we went outside and we did our wedding dance by candlelight. And then right when the dance ended, all the lights came back. Jema was talking and saying, like, thank you, everyone, for making this dance happen. I only wish, you know, that my father was here. I wish that my grandmother was here. And right after she said that, all the power came back on. That was kind of another.
Dun, dun.
So I guess lots of things have happened. Well,
thank you so much, Kurt, for joining us. And please check out Kurt's fantastic performance in Primrose Lane and join us as he continues in The Passage. And Kurt, where can they find Belly Buds and where can we find you?
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, Belly Buds are at bellybuds.com. And I am, where am I? I'm on...
so bad at social media. I'm putting
where
him on the spot.
I?
I'm pressuring him right now.
I ask that question to myself every day. Where am I?
I guess you can find me on my public Facebook page.
Are you going to do that? Are you going to get on that?
Sure. Everyone's going to want to talk to me.
Fantastic. There it is. Curtis Mark
Absolutely.
Williams. And Pamela, remind us where we can find you.
TheHollywoodSage.com.
Thank you so much. Please tune in next week.